Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You are listening to Perplexity.
On December 27th, 2010, a 13-year-old girl of Mitchell County, Texas, would disappear. She was last seen leaving her mother's house to go hang out with a friend, but had never shown up. It wouldn't be until March 16th, 2013, that her remains were recovered. 8 years later, a man by the name of Sean Casey Adkins would be arrested for the murder. At the time of her disappearance, this man had been dating the victim's mother. He was given a prison sentence, but recently, on June 26th, 2023, Sean Casey Adkins was released due to lack of evidence. Her death would shake Mitchell County and leave her family heartbroken and desperate for answers. So what happened to this 13-year-old girl? And will there ever be justice? This is the case of Haley Dunn. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, you are in the right place. If you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hi, my friends, welcome back. I'm happy you're here, though we have a very heavy story to cover today. We're doing another true crime case today. This was requested by Kenzie, so thank you, Kenzie. I think this is a very important case to be talking about. There is a major lack of justice in the death of Haley Dunn, and the family is still actively investigating Haley's murder. They're actively seeking answers. They have a private investigator on the case. So I think it's a very important one to discuss. I do want to say, as always, trigger warning for today's episode. This podcast is not for children, and listener discretion is advised. All the sources for today's episode will be down in the show notes. So without further ado, let's dive right into this awful, heartbreaking case of Haley Dunn's murder.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
13-year-old Haley Darlene Dunn was born on August 28, 1997. She was born and raised in Texas, and she was in eighth grade at Colorado City Middle School in Mitchell County, Texas, at the time of her murder. Haley was a cheerleader. She had a vibrant personality and a beautiful smile. She was intelligent, full of laughter, love, jokes, and she loved to pull pranks. She wore ripped jeans and enjoyed playing Guitar Hero and singing with her friends and family. She played the saxophone. Her friends described her as being fun, crazy, random, and someone who knew what they wanted. She wasn't afraid to stand up for what she believed in. Like many cases where a child is murdered, it's so heartbreaking to think about because her family will never know who she would have become. She was only 13 years old. Haley was full of adventure. She loved the outdoors, camping, swimming, playing sports. She liked getting her hands dirty. She was athletic. She played basketball, volleyball. She ran track. But she loved softball. Her parents were Billie Jean Dunn and Clint Dunn. She also had one brother named David, who was 3 years older than her. So in 2008, Billie Jean, Haley's mother, and Clint, Haley's father, actually separated. Haley kept living with her mom in the house that she had grown up in. Clint, at the time, thought this would be best for Haley. But Billie Jean soon got into a relationship with a man named Sean Casey Adkins. Sean was 8 years younger than Billie. According to Clint, Billie Dunn got into some very bad things when she started dating Sean. Her personality seemed to change. Billie Dunn and Sean were doing things that she had never done when she was with Haley's father, Clint. They started doing drugs. They were watching porn together. Sean Adkins and Clint also did not get along. He had actually shown up to Clint's house one time and threatened him. They ended up getting into a physical altercation and police had to be called. Sean also had a weapon in his car at the time. Clint would later say he told police that he wanted to press charges. However, for whatever reason, no charges were ever brought. Clint also later tried to find police records of this entire altercation, but no report was ever written. That same year, Billie Jean and Sean got into a fight. Sean was threatening Billie Jean's life, Clint's life, and, according to some sources, Haley Dunn's life. He also said he would, quote, do something everybody would remember forever. Billie Jean called police at this time, and there is a recorded phone call that you can find online. She said on the phone, Sean Adkins was MHMR, which is an outdated term that stands for mental health and mental retardation. I hate that word, but I thought it was a very odd statement to make and wanted to include it. So she's explaining all of these concerns to police and how Sean has become violent towards her. But despite Sean making all of these threats and multiple other calls that would be made to police, Billie Jean continued to stay with Sean, and Haley continued to live in this same house. Sean also called the police on Billie, saying that she was attempting to complete suicide. Shortly before Haley Dunn's murder, Connie Jones, Haley's grandmother, also said she tried to get custody of Haley. She would later tell Nancy Grace for years that Haley had told her grandmother she was scared of her mom's boyfriend. On December 26th, Billie Jean and Sean got into another argument. Haley was seen Sunday evening by Billie Jean and her brother, David. David later went to stay with a friend that night, and he went to school the next day. That Monday, around 6 a.m., Billie Jean went to work in Sider, Texas. Sean Adkins also left to go to work. Haley Dunn was last seen the next day on Monday, December 27th, 2010, just 2 days after Christmas. She was supposed to go to Clint's house, her dad, and then to a friend's house. The day prior, on the 26th, she had stayed at Clint's apartment and left at about 11 o'clock that morning. Clint lived right across the street from Billie Jean's house. Haley would be reported missing by her mom on December 28th. Billie Jean called Clint around 11 or 12 that day from work, asking if he knew where Haley was. She also asked Clint to call the police. Clint didn't have any information, though, and he insisted that Billie Jean hang up right away and call the police herself. He then called her back 10 minutes later to make sure that she had called the police, and she said she had. Nothing was missing from Haley Dunn's room. Nothing appeared out of the ordinary in their house. But the search for Haley quickly began. Clint, his girlfriend, and their newborn baby searched the area. The police department labeled Haley a runaway at the time, and they would continue to call her a runaway for the first week of the investigation, which is so frustrating to me. Despite Haley's loved ones insisting that Haley was not the type to run away and had no prior history of this, an entire week went by where police did nothing, so it fell on the family to look for her. Throughout the investigation into Haley's death came local, regional, statewide, and national attention, with Scurry County, Mitchell County, the FBI, Secret Service, and the Texas Rangers Cold Case Unit getting involved. And this was, again, largely because of the work of Haley Dunn's family. Police sent out scent dogs, which traced Haley's scent to a nearby hotel. However, no evidence allegedly was found at the hotel. At some point, Haley's backpack was also found by a boy who had been camping at Roduck Park. Clint turned the backpack into police. This boy had come up on it, got a hold of Clint, and he went to pick it up. So he immediately takes it in, and volunteers across multiple states searched 2.5 years in difficult conditions and terrain, hoping to find this little girl. Clint followed up on endless leads, and he even wrote the President of the United States begging for his help. News agencies, Nancy Grace, and other investigative journalists also picked up the story. Sean and Haley's parents, Clint and Billie Jean, were looked at from the very beginning, because statistically, they're the closest to Haley, so they needed to be ruled out. Clint Dunn was ruled out quickly. Billie Jean, though, showed some evasive tendencies that made police raise their eyebrows. According to Haley's father, Clint, Billie, quote, stayed with him, protected him, and lied for him when talking about Sean. Billie Jean continued to stay with Sean Adkins for about 1.5 years after Haley went missing. Just 3 days after Haley went missing, Billie Jean got a memorial tattoo of Haley. Why would you get a memorial tattoo of your daughter when she just disappeared a few days ago? Clint also said Billie Jean and Sean changed their entire living room quickly after Haley disappeared. They covered the living room in a fresh coat of paint, they got new furniture, and a new TV. Sean Casey Adkins is 6'3", and he is from Big Spring, Texas. He quickly became a person of interest in the Haley Dunn disappearance, and eventually the prime suspect. He was living in Billie Jean's home, where Haley was last seen. In a 2011 TV interview broadcast by KTAB-KRBC, Casey denied being involved in Haley's disappearance or death, saying, quote, "That morning I drove to work, I quit my job, and I turned in all of my belongings. I didn't speak to nobody at work. I left work. I stopped by this residence. Nobody was here, so I continued going towards Sea City, and I got on I-20, I went to Big Springs to my mom's house and made calls on my phone to my mom, letting her know that I quit my job and everything. I got to my mom's house that day, got on the internet, looking up unemployment to see if I could get, you know, an unemployment check, till I could get back on my feet and everything. That was my day. Then I came home around, I guess, like 3 o'clock. Haley was there watching TV in the living room, and I went into me and Billy's bedroom. And she came in there and told me she was going to her father's house, and that she was staying the night with a friend, and then she left. And then I was there by myself for maybe 1 hour at the most. And then David and a friend came over, and they went into his room. They were playing video games and so forth. Billy called me and told me that, her relief got there, and that she was gonna get to leave a little early. So I was up there at the hospital in Snyder around 6 o'clock to pick her up and then came back. And then we went to bed shortly after that." End quote. Here's the problem with Sean's story of what happened. Haley never made plans to spend the night with a friend. When police tried to verify this story, the friend said that they had made no plans. He also at one point told police he had been fired. But this wasn't true. He also said he had punched his boss, which was not true. On the morning in question, Sean had actually clocked into work, but was there all of 10 minutes. And then he left without saying a word. He also did not go straight to his mom's house after leaving work. He went to Billie Jean's house first, where Haley had been home alone. From 6:35 to about 2:30, we can assume Sean was with Haley. In Billie Jean's interviews with media, she came across very nervous and demonstrated odd tendencies. Now, I don't want to read too deep into this because we've talked before how people show grief in different ways. But I've got to say, after all the research I did on this case, I do find several things that Billie Jean did very odd, like the memorial tattoo, for instance. She also withheld information to the media, and she often seemed to purposefully dodge very important questions. She quickly made statements alluding to Haley not coming home, and that someone, quote, had snatched her baby off the street and had hurt her. The day Haley went missing, her and Sean also took out money in Snyder to purchase drugs. Now, I don't know if this was before or after they knew Haley was gone, but something that I just came across in sources. There were also rumors that just a few days after Haley disappeared, Billie Jean threw a New Year's Eve party. But Billie did volunteer to take a polygraph. She did fail that polygraph and multiple others after that. Sean also failed his polygraphs multiple times after he hadn't shown up the first couple times he was supposed to take the polygraph. Sean also allegedly deleted something off of his phone in the eyesight of a cop when a cop asked to see something on his phone. He also told police that Haley was, quote, promiscuous, sexually active, and participated in drug use. This is how a full-grown man who is dating this victim's mom is talking about this 13-year-old child. How can you call a child promiscuous, sexually active, and a drug user? Especially when she is literally missing. There's so many things wrong with this. At the end of February 2011, police searched Billie Jean's home and Sean's mother's home in Big Springs. I don't know why this took so long. She disappeared late December, so this gave them plenty of time to hide any evidence. According to one source, quote, evidence was discovered in every single corner of those searches. 100,000 plus images of child pornography, we were told. Bestiality. Pics of mom having sex with animals. Homemade videos of Sean Adkins wearing a mask, holding a hunting knife, scaring the shit out of everyone he could. End quote. And nothing happened. Police claimed that they couldn't tell who owned this pornography, so they couldn't arrest anyone. Like, it's a pretty short list who was at these two places, at the mom's home and at Billie Jean's home. Also, I don't know when they said there were pictures of the mom having sex with animals. I don't know if they're talking about Billie Jean, but that's completely insane. And it could potentially give motive for what happened to Haley. As unthinkable as it could be, this could have been a sex crime. In March 2011, Billie Jean was arrested for lying about where Sean was and hindering the investigation for Haley. Basically, police had shown up to the house looking for Sean, and they wanted to search him for any defensive wounds. Again, this is in March, so I don't know why they waited this long. But Billie Jean hid Sean in her closet and said that he wasn't there. Police searched the house, though, and found him. And they also found a box with documents about serial killers, mass murderers, the occult, and true crime. They also found narcotics in the home, and Billie was later given 1 year of probation. Now, just because you have documents in your home about serial killers and true crime doesn't mean you did something bad, but this combined with everything else, things are not stacking well with Billie Jean and Sean Casey Adkins. On March the 16th, 2013, Haley's remains were recovered about 20 miles north of her hometown near a private airstrip and Lake J.B. Thomas in Scurry County. A man walking along had discovered her skull, a tooth, her femur, and a pair of blue sweatpants that were believed to be hers. The area had already been searched. Her remains were sent to the University of North Texas, and they were analyzed by a forensic anthropologist. As far as details of how her remains looked when they were found, very little is known. We do know that Haley had blunt force injuries to her skull with an unknown weapon, and that these were inflicted at or near the time of her death. According to some sources, a car at the location Where Haley was found was also processed, and evidence was gathered. But apparently, it was never forensically tested. Other sources, including court records, say that the car that was found at the scene belonged to Sean Casey Adkins. These court records say that the car was tested multiple times, but then I'm getting these other reports saying that nothing was ever forensically tested. So there's just a lot of conflicting and confusing information about this case, and I also feel like there's big holes in the investigation, at least to our public knowledge. According to Clint, Haley's hairs were also found on Sean Adkins' coveralls and in the trunk of his car. In Sean's work tool bag, they also found a piece of duct tape that had both his hair and Haley's hair. This tool bag was found in the trunk of his car. Based on text messages and location data from Haley and Casey's phones, the prosecutors say Casey would have had to have killed Haley, cleaned up any blood and other incriminating evidence in the home, and hidden her body in a very short amount of time. Sean's phone pings all over town the day that Haley was last seen, across about a 40-mile radius. At 6:10 a.m., Sean left for work in Snyder, Texas, which is about 20 miles from Billie Jean's house. At 6:35 a.m. through 6:56 a.m., he was back at Billie Jean's house. Later at 9:38 a.m. through 2:40 a.m., his cell phone pinged to his mother's house, just 1 mile from where Haley's remains were later found. We don't really hear anything about Casey's mom in this case. I would hope that they really looked at her carefully as well, because her house was right by the area, and obviously we know he was there. Haley sent a text at 2:16 p.m. and 2:27 p.m. that day. Casey also took a call at 2:56 p.m., which connected to a tower along I-20 East of Big Spring, west of Colorado City. 1 minute later, there was an incoming call to Haley's cell phone, which also connected to a cell tower in Colorado City. This evidence points to the possibility that Haley may have been alive before 2:57 p.m. on December 27th. Casey claims he was driving around, drinking, and thinking about his relationship with Billie Jean, which is not a great alibi. Nobody can verify that. His cell phone also pinged that day right by where Haley's remains were later found. According to those investigating the case, there continue to be issues with a clear timeline. December 26th, Haley's brother, David, spent the night with two friends and came home the next day at about 4 o'clock. When David got there, he remembered he couldn't get into the house. It was locked, and this was not normal. So David was banging on the door and no one was answering. Eventually, he got into the house through a window, and when he got in the house, he saw Sean just standing there with a strange look on his face. Haley was not in the house at this point, as far as David could tell. At 6 p.m., Casey left and picked up Haley's mom, Billie Jean, from work in Snyder. Adkins wasn't alone again until the following morning. So if Haley was alive when Casey got home, he would have been alone with Haley for at most 2 hours from 3 to 5 p.m. When Haley's uncles came by after she disappeared, one of the uncles actually said to Sean, "Who would do this to a 13-year-old girl?" And Sean said, "Yeah, it's like killing a deer," which is something that Sean did all the time. There were no known direct eyewitnesses to Haley's murder, and there is currently no known forensic science evidence to link Sean to the murder. Although he continues to be the prime suspect, and according to Clint, there's evidence that Haley was in Sean's trunk. So like, I don't know what more evidence police need.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So in 2020, the district attorney for the 32nd Judicial District, Ricky Thompson, consulted with the Texas Rangers Unsolved Crimes Investigation Program, and the Rangers interviewed several people before really narrowing in on Sean. A search warrant was issued for his DNA, and he was arrested and booked in the Howard County Jail on $2 million bond, June 14th, 2021. He was just 35 years old. A heavily redacted affidavit was released after his arrest that stated authorities suspected Casey had kidnapped and murdered Haley, then tampered with her corpse. Sean was later indicted by a grand jury, and a trial date was set for June 2022. But discovery of new information, we don't know what this was, pushed the trial back to April 2023. That date was then pushed back again when Sean's defense team asked for a continuance. May of 2023, Haley Dunn's family was informed that Sean and his defense team rejected a plea deal. This plea deal would have sent Sean to prison for 30 years. A critical piece of evidence involved in this case was a soil analysis conducted in the ground by a soil expert for the state of Texas. The prosecutor said a method known as NIRS, or near-infrared spectroscopy, was used to analyze and compare soil found on Casey Adkins' work boots and coveralls, and they compared this soil to what was found near Haley's remains. The soil samples were a match. And according to experts, these are like fingerprints. The soil varies from lake to lake. However, these same soil samples were then sent to Quantico. It's alleged that the soil samples, when Quantico ran them, were inconclusive. They couldn't figure out if they matched or not. June 2023, right before the trial, all charges against Sean Casey Adkins were dropped, with court documents stating further investigation was needed, and they cited lack of evidence. Sean had spent 2 years in jail awaiting trial, and now he was back on the streets. He was released without prejudice, meaning that the state can refile charges against him at any time. Haley's family's been working with a PI named Erica Morse, who at the time that Casey was released said, quote, "Why in the world has this happened? Why is Sean out? And what are we going to do moving forward to close this case?" Morse has also gone on public record saying that Sean Adkins was a huge red flag from the very beginning. So I found a Haley Dunn Facebook page. It is run by Erica Morse and Haley Dunn's family. And I started going down a rabbit hole on all these videos that Clint and Erica had posted. They would give updates and talk about how they were feeling about how everything was moving along with Haley's case. So we're going to get into a lot of that information now that I found in these videos. According to Erica Morse, it's likely impossible that Sean Casey Adkins was able to pull this off by himself. She alleged that there is a cover-up with many others involved. Now, this is, of course, all alleged, but I wanted to talk about this. A cover-up of the kidnapping and senseless murder of this 13-year-old girl is what they are alleging. Morse has confidently stated there are people intentionally trying to muddy the waters of this investigation and cast reasonable doubt. Morse has also vocalized a lack of trust in law enforcement and made it clear there are some problematic members of law enforcement involved in the investigation, including people who are protecting Sean from being charged. Morse has been on the case since the very beginning. She actually started off as a local reporter, and then she became a victim's advocate and started working closely with Clint, Haley's dad. She got her PI license entirely because of this case. Clint has continued to make videos when he can. He has gone onto other podcasts and done interviews. He's been active on social media. He really wants justice for Haley. He wants this solved. Clint has dealt with endless internet trolls. He has received threats. He has been harassed. And there are rumors, ridiculous rumors, swirling the internet, alleging that he has been involved. Meanwhile, I think it's incredibly obvious that Clint cared deeply for his daughter and had nothing to do with this. Police also were able to clear him from the very beginning. Clint's doctors in July 2020 advised he take a break from the case for his health. They felt that the investigation was causing him severe stress. Clint has had two heart attacks since he was diagnosed with heart disease, despite having no heart disease in his family. According to Clint, he believes this has happened because he has a broken heart. Clint has also been fighting addiction for several years. This was after Haley's remains were found. He started seeing a counselor and he got on medication, but he continues to struggle. He lost his career in the oil field. Companies in West Texas wouldn't hire Clint because they said he was going through too much. Clint has alleged the investigation was highly mishandled from the very beginning, saying that files connected to the case were not organized properly and that various reports have just gone missing. Additionally, a critical test which may have connected Casey to the area where Haley's body is found is now being disputed. He found this dispute to be very frustrating because he says the soil sample test was a 94 to 95% match. Baylor University also tested the soil with an unconventional test, but they said the samples matched also. There was no forensic testing done in Haley's home in the days following her disappearance, so there's no evidence to see if there was blood present in the home. And we also have to remember, this was a small town full of rookie cops who had never worked a case like this. Clint has said, quote, "The only way Sean Adkins will ever be held accountable for his crimes is if we try this case in the court of public opinion. They've had 14 years to get justice for my daughter. Instead, they messed up this investigation early on, focusing on hiding those mistakes, and did not arrest Haley's killer. I know in my heart now they screwed up this case so badly that they can never take it to a courtroom and admit those errors. People would lose their jobs. Cops would go to prison. The only way I can ensure Haley will ever receive justice is to expose everything. Every lie, every mistake I have uncovered, and their ongoing efforts to shut me down to protect themselves." End quote. He also said, when Sean Adkins was released from jail, it took everything in his power not to handle the situation himself. Quote, "But I realized I'm the only person who can prevent myself from spending eternity with Haley. And that is a reunion I refuse to miss. Every day, I look at these two beautiful angels, her sisters, and I am reminded of how precious and fleeting life really is. Haley is gone, and I can never bring her back. But what I can do is teach her sisters that we fight for the ones we love, no matter the cost." End quote. 4 months into the search for Haley, Clint says two officers pulled him aside and told him, very interesting, Sean had killed Haley 4 months into the search. And police were very positive about this. So why is he not in prison? Clint feels the only reason there hasn't been justice is because the police know they botched this case and they're trying to avoid backlash. Furthermore, Morse, the PI, has called out the Big Spring Police Department multiple times. She has said they are actively protecting Adkins from his past and current crimes. She didn't specify what crimes specifically. She said they are intentionally stalling and burying nearly a dozen other missing persons cases within their jurisdiction. And Morse has met with the Big Spring mayor and the city attorney to discuss these serious concerns, but nothing has been done. There's also been an officer in Big Spring who has been intimidating and threatening witnesses and victims into not making police reports. Morse has said since mid-2020, they've come to the conclusion this case is as good as solved. Because Haley was under the age of 15 at the time of her murder, the perpetrator would be eligible for the death penalty. There's also a former law enforcement individual that was found to have tried to intentionally frame Mr. Dunn, Clint. That information was handed over to the Texas Rangers and attorneys in 2019. I also came across a very interesting blog post from Erica Morse, posted in 2019. Quote, "In October 2019, I began receiving messages from women in and around West Texas who were being harassed by a man going by the name of Casey online. My ears perked up because that's Sean's middle name. I asked them to send photos and it was him. I asked for the messages. Yep, Guy in a mask wants to have sex. That's my guy. That's my suspect. I asked them to send me proof of naked photos and videos, because that is the crime now in Texas. And we finally had the SOB on fresh crimes. On October 28th, 2019, I accompanied one of the victims to the local PD to make a report. I would name said PD, but after receiving a subtle threat from an official the other night, I have decided to withhold certain pieces until I'm safely across state lines. So we went to the PD to file a report, and an officer turned us away. He accused the victim of fabricating the story at my direction and re-victimized this woman in every way possible. I was livid. To make matters worse, after the cop ran me out of the situation, he proceeded to tell the victim to stay away from me. Sean Adkins continues to stalk women in West Texas and a couple in New Mexico. He could easily be the guy in the mask who tried to abduct a female student at that bus stop today. And I'm sitting here tonight, angry as hell, feeling completely and utterly incapable of protecting every woman and child he is currently victimizing. For that, I am truly sorry. You need to understand that Sean Adkins is a sexual sadist. His body doesn't allow him to ejaculate unless he is causing physical pain to another human being or animal. This is not just my theory. If you don't believe me, ask the FBI to see the profile they came up with on him. Local law enforcement knew about it, but guess who didn't? The public. The media. Haley Dunn's father. Hell, believe it or not, I don't even solely blame him for his sickness. Sean Adkins never stood a chance in this world, and he knows it. He knows why he is the way he is. And I wish he and I had met prior to Haley's disappearance. I would have gotten him the help he needed and deserved instead of letting him grow up hating the women who made him who he became. I'm sorry, Sean, you really did deserve better, and I don't know if anyone has ever said that to you. But to you, the parents of his next victim, I am the most sorry. I'm sorry your child had to die because Sean Adkins was raised in a crappy situation. I'm sorry the cops in West Texas refused to take that monster off the streets. I know who they say he's related to in law enforcement, but it doesn't matter anymore. Sean Adkins will never face trial for the murder of Haley Dunn, and he won't pay the price for killing your child either. In closing, I want to apologize to you one last time. I'm sorry in advance that your beautiful child had to die because a whole bunch of people didn't do their jobs. I didn't fail you, and I know that now. West Texas law enforcement failed you. Sean's mother failed you. And every teacher, coach, therapist, and principal to ever come into contact with Adkins failed you. So did the people who covered up his crimes as a teenager, when this could have been stopped and he could have gotten help. But damn it, I've spent the last 9 years wearing many hats in this case. Reporter, advocate, PI, one or all of them provided me the training on how to take down a child killer. The only thing I didn't factor into this equation was that this particular murderer has a get-out-of-jail-free card and a law enforcement-issued license to kill. End quote. I understand how insane and controversial and heavy all of this is, but I always think it's important in these cases to give you guys as much information as I can possibly find, regardless of if you believe this or not, regardless of if you can wrap your head around it or not. But it's very scary to think about the idea that the police department could intentionally be covering this up, that they could be intentionally trying to muddy the waters of dozens of other missing persons cases in Big Spring, the idea that Sean Casey Adkins has been troubled since he was a child and nobody's done anything about it. I do wonder if there's ever going to be more information that comes out about Sean Casey Adkins, about these police departments, about Haley's case, and if anybody else was involved. Something else that's interesting, Clint, Haley's dad, hasn't spoken to Billie Jean since 2017. That same year, Clint was supposed to go pick up his daughter's remains and give her a proper burial in Colorado City. The day that he was supposed to go pick up the remains, police contacted him and said that the plans had changed because Billie Jean was still considered Haley's guardian. But this was not accurate. CPS had come to Billie Jean's house after Haley's disappearance and they found evidence of drug use and they removed her son David. Clint should have been able to bury his daughter, but she was buried somewhere in South Texas and Clint has no idea where. He wasn't even invited to the burial. He's heard that Haley doesn't even have a tombstone. In 2019, Clint released a video on the Who Killed Haley Dunn Facebook page, saying that Billie Jean admitted to several people to being present when Haley was killed. He also said Billie Jean's other son, David, has information on what happened, but has been threatened, so he is scared to talk about it. He also said David had made this metal H for Haley in shop class, and it weighed about 10 to 15 pounds. It was there the day before Haley disappeared, but it disappeared after Haley disappeared, and it hasn't been seen since. And like we talked about earlier, when Haley's body was found, she had blunt force trauma to her skull with an unknown object. Billie also allegedly asked her best friend to destroy a Wiccan book titled A Witch's Bible shortly after Haley disappeared. Clint was able to get a hold of this book and he turned it over to the FBI. In 2020, Clint was also working to determine how a purple rug painted with a pentagram that was in the house may fit into this case. This rug was also booked into evidence. Clint has since relocated to the Midwest. He's become a caretaker for the elderly. He gardens, finding this therapeutic. In an interview in August 2024, he said, quote, "I am different now. Way different now. It's hard to talk. I can't go through the day without constantly thinking about Haley. I mean, every hour. There's something that reminds me of Haley. I think about Haley when I go to watch a movie. If it's an older movie, I'll look at the date to see if Haley was alive when that movie came on. Like, yeah, I bet me and Haley would have watched this. It'll make me want to watch it more because I feel like it's a connection. We're kind of watching it together. Sometimes I make her a glass of tea, or I'll make her favorite food and set it in the living room with me when I'm eating. I'll put a TV show on, something we've watched before. I watch a movie with her. I invite her all the time to come chill with me and watch a movie." End quote. In case anyone watches this that is trolling Clint Dunn, leave him alone. I watched so many interviews with this man. It's so clear how much he has done for this case. He is so clearly heartbroken about it, and for people to be victimizing him online and trolling him, it is truly disgusting. I do want to give you guys some important information in case you happen to know anything about this case. Texas Crime Stoppers is offering a reward for people who have information on Haley Dunn's murder. If you have a tip, you should call the Crime Stoppers hotline at 1-800-252-TIPS or 1-800-252-8477. All tips are anonymous, and tips can also be submitted through the Texas Rangers Cold Case website at dps.texas.gov. This information will also be available in the show notes. You can also join the fight and join the Who Killed Haley Dunn Facebook page. I am on there. That link will also be in the show notes. So that is the perplexing and absolutely heartbreaking case of the murder of 13-year-old Haley Dunn.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I truly hope that the family has been able to find some type of peace. Specifically talking about Clint. Clint, I hope you are doing well. I hope that you have the most amazing life. I hope that you have been able to move on from this and are bonding with your children. I hope that people like Erica Morse and people that are rallying around you continue to fight and be loud, and that we get answers in this case, because it is so unthinkable and unfair. There is no one sitting in prison for the murder of this innocent child. There's so many things wrong with our justice system, but when it comes to cases like this with children, that's when it enrages me the most. It's truly awful. I can't imagine having a loss like this. I do want to thank Kinsey for requesting this story. I am born and raised and currently reside in Texas, so it's near and dear to me as well. And I appreciate you guys for listening. If you enjoy the way that this story was told, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this exact episode, letting me know your thoughts. If you're watching on YouTube, like this video, subscribe, and turn those notifications on. Comment down below what your thoughts are on this case. And if you haven't done so yet, I would love if you left a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Each time you do that, it boosts me up the charts and it helps me get more listeners. And in this situation, it will help get more eyes and ears on this case. If you want to support the show for as little as $1 a month, go check out patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast, where you can find early and ad-free episodes, exclusive bonus content, and all sorts of other fun stuff. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.